2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 1. This is God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may have seemed to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Proverbs 24:3 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." By wisdom a house is built. The greatest house ever built in the history of the world is the church. Not a church, a building of wood and bricks and mortar, but a spiritual house built with living stones, the people of God, with Jesus Christ himself as the chosen and precious cornerstone. Boys and girls, that's the greatest building that has ever been built and is being built and will be built. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." The church is built upon Christ as it is built by Christ. He builds the church. He built the church there when he was on the earth by having the temple of his body torn down as he suffered and died on the cross. Remember, he said, "If this temple is torn down," referring to his body. And it's on his own suffering and death that the church is built, the cross work of Jesus Christ. And he sends his Spirit in every age to build his church. But Jesus, the supreme church builder, uses his people in that building work. The apostles, the New Testament tells us, were builders in the church. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. We've read from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians tonight in chapter 13. And in this letter, Paul speaks again about the work of building, and he connects it explicitly with the authority he was given in Christ's church. Look again at verse 10. This is why I write these things when I'm absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. There is authority in the church. We've considered that several times. There were the extraordinary offices that God gave to the church, the prophets and the apostles. And we've also seen the ordinary continuing offices of elder and deacon. And it's with these offices, in these offices, that Christ has delegated his authority. Now, the very word authority has often a negative ring in many people's ears. Authority. Authority often resonates with thoughts of control and dominance, overbearing pressure, manipulation. And it must be acknowledged that authority in the church, just as can happen in the state and in the family, can be abused and has been abused. And sometimes people have felt that in their own personal experience. But the answer to the abuse of authority is not to rebel against the God-ordained structure of authority, and church authority now in particular, but to pray and to labor, to confess and to repent, to see it properly understood and exercised. Whatever else authority in the church may involve, here in our text tonight, Paul indicates the purpose of authority in Christ's church. And it's simply this: to build up believers. To build up believers. To edify them. Edify is a word we hear a lot. It's related to the English word edifice, which is a fancier word for building. I think there's probably a French word for building that's close to edifice, I would think. And so edification is building up. That's what we mean when we talk about edification in the church. Now, the church is built up in different ways. The church is built up when living stones are added to the church. That's one way the church is built up. But the church is also built up and edified as those Christians then grow and become mature, more and more toward perfection, as Paul says at the end of verse 9. When they grow in maturity as individuals and together as a body, that's edification. That's being built up. And so the authority of church leadership, which is always to be connected with and faithful to God's word, is with a view to building up. In fact, Paul repeats this three times in the last three chapters of 2 Corinthians, so that he won't be misunderstood. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, he says, "So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it." There again, authority is connected with building up. In 2 Corinthians 12, 19, "Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your," the NIV says, "strengthening, The King James has edifying. It's the same word, to build you up. And then here in chapter 13, this is why I write these things, that I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. So we see this great call in the church to be building up. It should be a goal for all of us. The Bible makes this clear. Building up is what we all should be concerned with. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." Building up should govern everything we say. Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." That's a safeguard that we should put over our mouths before we say something. Is this according to someone's needs to build them up? We'd probably say a lot less if we remembered that before we said anything. Then hopefully we'd say a lot more. Two. Everyone is involved, you see, in this building up. Ephesians 4:16. "From him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Everyone in the church should be thinking and speaking and acting in order that the church would be built up. So everyone in the church needs to be thinking this. What am I doing? How am I living? Is this building up the church? Not just concerned, of course, we should be concerned if we're tearing down the church. And we can tear down people in many ways. Sinful anger, gossip, tale-bearing, judgmentalism, all kinds of things can tear people down. But it won't do just to say, well, I'm not tearing anyone down. Because you cannot tear anyone down and not do anything. And just be a non-force in the church. That's not what we're called to do. What am I doing, as each part does its work, that the church would be built up? This is a concern for every believer. If you read through again sometime 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul deals so much with gifts in the church, in different parts of the body. He repeats it in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, verse 12, verse 26, that the gifts are given to the church to build others up. Repeated 4 times in that chapter, that the church may be built up, that others may be built up. He says in verse 19, "Therefore, let us make," at Romans 14:19. "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Make every effort to live at peace and to build each other up. Romans 15:2, "Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up." It's repeated over and over and over again. How important this is, how it should govern the way that we think and live in the church, to build each other up. Kids, let me ask you something. If you're here, let me ask you, have you ever built anything at your house? Maybe with some kind of blocks like Duplo or Lego or linking logs or whatever you have, Meccano, whatever it is. Have you ever taken a lot of time, you've really thought about it, you made a special place, and you started building, block on block. You've taken a lot of time and a lot of care because you want to make it really great. You've been building and building and building. But then, someone comes along Maybe it's even a brother or a sister. Now, sometimes if they're little enough, they may not do it on purpose. You have to take that into account. But have you ever had it where someone comes and just knocks it all down? They just tear it down. And you know what that's like. But if you've ever had that experience, then you understand, you have a good way to understand what the Bible is telling us, what God is telling us here about life in the church and what we're all called to do and to examine ourselves. Am I someone who is building up or am I someone who is tearing down? Something we all need to consider. It's a picture of all of life in the church. Everyone is either building up or tearing down. But again, and here we come back to our main point tonight, church leadership, those given an authority in the church, are to use that authority to the same end, to build up the church, to build up believers. So it says in Ephesians 4:12 of the ordinary office of the church, pastors, teachers, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And here this is what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 13:10. The authority that the Lord gave me to build you up and not for tearing you down. So here is the way that I think the Lord would have us apply this as we come to this election for church officers, especially as we are praying toward the election of church leadership. This is a good question to ask. This is a helpful thing to look for. Is this a man who builds other people up? That's what authority in the church is to be for. And so we need to see someone who lives this way, uses his gifts this way to build others up. It's a good indication that the Lord is calling such a person into office in the church. Do his words build other people up? Does he use his gifts to build other people up? Because if, as all Christians are called to do it, he's someone who's already doing it, it will, by God's grace, be the best indication that when given that authority in the church, that's what he will continue to do. Church authority is for building up. Remember, Jesus had to say to his disciples, do not be like the world, lording it over people. Whatever authority Christ gives in his church is for building people up, not for tearing them down. But how are Christians built up? How is the authority that Christ has given in his church, how is that to be used? How is it used to build up the church? This letter of 2 Corinthians was in response in large part to the fake apostles, the pseudo-apostles, who were trying to usurp loyalty, the loyalty of God's people, to themselves away from Paul as a true apostle. And this wasn't just for the sake of some kind of popularity contest. The gospel was at stake. 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Paul has challenged them because this is what they were doing. It was a different gospel that was being preached and proclaimed. And so the authority that Christ gives in the church is an authority that always must be in line with God's word and with the pure and true biblical gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ. God's people can only be built up by the truth. And so the authority, you see, is always in connection with the truth of God's word. In verse 8 of chapter 13, Paul says, we cannot do anything against the truth. And so church authority is according to the Word of God. And it's when the Word of God is proclaimed and taught and applied, that's how people are built up. In chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, God's people are built up when teaching against God is torn down. It's sort of a play on words. If you look at chapter 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, to tear down strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's the way people are built up, when anything against God or against Christ is torn down. Chapter 11, verse 3, people are built up when they are encouraged to a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's what the authority in the church is toward, to call people, to encourage people in a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. In chapter 12, verse 15, it's connected with self-sacrificial labor. So I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. The authority that builds others up, in that sense, isn't a self-preserving thing. It's a self-expending thing. Chapter 12, verse 21, it's grief over sin. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented. There's a grief that comes as we seek to see others built up, when we see sin tearing them down. And so the authority that builds up comes with warnings. Chapter 13, verse 2. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. Sometimes I think people think, well, I like the idea of being built up. I want to be built up by those around me. Be great if the leadership in the church would build me up. But sometimes when the warnings come, and when there are things that are hard things that are said, somehow people take that as tearing them down. And this is why I think Paul is saying this so often in this letter, because he's saying hard things to them. And he has to repeat over and over, listen, I'm speaking to you with authority. It's the authority that Christ has given me. But it's for building you up, not for tearing you down. Don't think the way that a very immature child thinks when they're being disciplined. Oh, you hate me because you're doing this to me. Oh, it's for building you up. And so an authority in the church that really seeks to build people up will be an authority that warns people about their lives. It's an authority that builds people up by calling people to self-examination. Verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Why are you tearing me down? No, this is for building you up. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You see, these calls to self-examination are a God-ordained means to build up true Christians. When they look at their lives and they see the evidences of God's grace, and it leads to greater, surer assurance. But you see, again, Paul is saying these things because at times, real gospel edification can appear harsh. Look at verse 10. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. Well, I'm saying sometimes this authority has to do harsh things. But that doesn't mean it's cruel or mean-spirited or seeking to tear someone down. It's rather a firm gospel hand for a fixed gospel purpose, building up and not tearing down. Jesus has given authority in his church for the church's good, for its edification. It's an authority that must be exercised biblically, and it must be submitted to biblically for that building up to be blessed. So we see here that the purpose of authority in the church, that God would be glorified in the building up of his people. We need to confess any tearing down that has been happening. And the Spirit has to show you what that is, as he has to show me. What are ways that I've been tearing other people down? How have I not been involved in building other people up? And that needs to be confessed. Sometimes it needs to be confessed to each other, if the tearing down has come to that, but certainly to God. But the great hope that we have is even with our sin and shortcomings, Christ will build his church. Christ will overrule even the sin of his people, and he will build his church. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. But because the Lord builds his house, the builders don't labor in vain. In Christ, our labors are not in vain. He gives us what we need, that we would be built up in the faith, in the Christian life. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Let us pray.